The theme for our meditation this morning is the milk of Christ sanctifies our life. It is based on 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him. And rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. 1 Peter 1, 8 to 9. Just a few verses later, Peter says, love one another earnestly, from a pure heart. And this describes our life of sanctification in a big way, doesn't it? Which is living and loving with Christian love, according to the new man given to us in baptism, to serve God and to serve our neighbor. Peter is speaking of our brethren here, our brothers and sisters in the faith, fellow Christ believers, and for our purposes today, those in fellowship with the CLC, and more pointedly here at Emmanuel. So what better place then, at least from the devil's perspective, for him to rear his ugly head and tempt us to sin against one another? What better place than within a close-knit group of confessional Lutherans who, by God's grace, are clinging to the clear word of truth? So we know it isn't if the devil is going to tempt us, but it's when, how often, and through what means. Peter knew this. This is the epistle where he describes the devil as a prowling lion looking for someone to devour. Satan wants us to disobey God's word. He wants us to stumble over to his side, and he wants us to fall into an eternal death trap. So this is why Peter gives us this admonition today. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy, and all slander. These are just a few of the sins that we Christians get tripped up in because we are weak. The devil, then, he tempts our flesh with these sins on a daily basis, doesn't he? Even here, especially here. These sins, they play out in different ways in the lives of different people. So the last thing we should be doing right now is sitting in judgment of the person who is next to us. And this includes the preacher who's up here all alone. One person's level of sanctification is going to be different than another's. We all have different struggles in varying degrees against different sins at different times. The one common denominator, though, we all need help with these struggles. God's help. God is the only one who can help us overcome our struggle with sin. And even then, only in a limited way here on earth, because our flesh is constantly with us. It's like an evil house guest that you cannot get rid of, as Luther once put it. So what does our flesh bring with it in its overnight bag? Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. Said in another way, hate, lying, two-facedness, jealousy, gossip. And yet a third way, the hostile force that destroys fellowship and relationships, speaking half-truths with unkind motives. insincerity and deception before God and man. Covetousness, which leads to idolatry. Talking behind someone's back. The fact is that none of these sins are consistent with the standard that is demanded of us in the law of God's word. When we see or hear them going on in our midst here at Emmanuel, we should pray that God would give us the strength to speak up, to act against such wicked behavior. Part of loving our brothers and sisters in the faith is rebuking them and encouraging them to amend their sinful lives. Sometimes showing love can be uncomfortable and difficult. But wait, there's a temptation within the temptation. The additional temptation is to treat these vices or these sins kind of like an abstract painting on the wall. We like to see them as we think they appear instead of how God really says they are, which is faith destroying sin. Isn't it easy to call them something different? Something less abrasive in our hardness of heart. Malice or hostility gets veiled as friendly chiding, innocent horseplay. Boys will be boys, they say. Deceit or lies, they're spoken of merely as joking around or kidding. Hypocrisy is thought of open-mindedness to change. And last but not least, gossip, better known as rumors, social media, and busybodiness. We're all guilty of these sins, each and every one of us. And I think we all recognize that none of these things are even remotely close to Jesus' definition for fruits of faith, no matter what way we try to spin them. We ought to examine our hearts daily, right? To expose according to God's word where we fail in these areas. Repent. And ask the Holy Spirit to help us amend our lives. We ought to be practicing what we preach inside these walls, outside these walls. As it is written, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. This is what it means to return to our baptisms, something we all learned in catechism class. We return to our baptisms with the purpose of drowning the old Adam in us with his sins and evil lusts by daily contrition and repentance and die, and that again a new man should daily come forth and arise, who shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever. God's law cuts to the heart, doesn't it? In fact, God's law kills. Thankfully, though, the gospel of Jesus, it gives life. So here's the good news. In Matthew 18:3, Jesus gave his disciples an object lesson in humility, something we all need on a regular basis. He explained to them that a mere child in its trusting, humble, and somewhat innocent nature is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Peter does something similar for us here today. He uses a metaphor to encourage us to mimic a small nursing infant child when it comes to our daily spiritual nourishment. Did you know that babies nurse a minimum of 8 to 12 times per day? Peter's infancy metaphor is showing us that the best help and assurance, the only help and assurance we have when it comes to the forgiveness of sins, strengthening of faith, loving our brothers and sisters, is the pure milk of the Word of God. The milk of Christ sanctifies our life. God's Word contains the message of Christ crucified for sinners like you and me. Because Christ is the Word. So naturally then, the word points us to his perfect life. The perfect life exchanged for our miserable, sinful existence. Through Christ's vicarious sacrifice, we receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life by grace through faith. Meanwhile, he suffered. He died in our place. He redeemed us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. The most loving sacrifice made for mankind ever. And it's because of this gift of grace and thanksgiving that we strive every day to dedicate our lives to Christ and to do his work and to serve and love our brethren in selfless Christian love. The picture of a nursing infant returning to the breast of his mother time and time again, that's spot on. It gives us continued strength and power and life to do such things. The pure milk of God's word. And finally, Jesus' resurrection. His resurrection is the guarantee that God fully accepted once and for all that very sacrifice that Jesus made in exchange for our sin. And as a result, God put all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. We are part of that body. What a profound honor. Now, having been baptized and forgiven and grafted into the true vine, we are holy priests, capable of bringing spiritual sacrifices to God that he gladly accepts through Jesus Christ. Our works, because of Christ, are no longer filthy rags, but they are as white as snow. And this position of honor belongs to all who believe. It belongs to you and to me. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people who are his own. And not only that, but now, because of what Christ has done, we are able to tell others about the wonderful deeds of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God be praised. Amen. We'll close with hymn 361, verses 1, 3, and 5. 361, 1, 3, and 5.